is the Father free to love the Son? Well, that changes. Is the Son free to love the Father? You know what I'm getting at? We said earlier, didn't we, that God loves. When did God begin to love the world?
Before it began.
In other words,
he always
loved the world. But then we say that he so loved the world that he made it. And we're kind of appreciate that he did. Thanks. Number of empty chairs, we could be these empty chairs. In any case, God made the world out of love. But we say that that love with which God made the world was a love that created in freedom. He showed his love for the world by making the world. Thanks, Lord. But he didn't have to do it. Could the Father not love the Son? Well, now let's get some agreement here. Could God the Father not love the Son?
No.
Any objections? Right. Is the Son free to love or not love the Father?
No.
Can the Holy Spirit say, well, I've been loving the Father and the Son for, I can't imagine how long. I'm going off on my own. Could the Holy Spirit say, I've loved enough?
No.
There are then two kinds of love in God. There is a necessary love, which is the Trinity. And there is the love which is free, which is we. We are the fruit of God's love, but only because God did not have to make us. Okay? We're scratching on granite when we talk this language, but at least to keep our vocabulary straight, so that when we talk about God's loving the world so that he made the world, that we are absolutely sure though he was always free, his freedom was such that he was not necessitated by that love to make. And having taught this subject, it's a 2-semester subject, I can talk for months about it. But I assure you, after all the learned discourse that we could share, the full understanding of this, no creature has. Okay? But, as with so many things that we live with, we should not fail to use, just because we don't understand, or act on, in other words, once it dawns on us, really dawns on us, that except for God's exercise of freedom, nothing else would be, including myself. The foundation of all our gratitude to God, all of it, is not just God's love, because we're liable to sneakingly suspect that maybe he had to do it. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. The radical basis of human gratitude towards God is divine freedom. And not just divine love. Am I making sense? It is a love that he did not have to exercise in this way. Number 6. I don't have a 6 there yet. But it's a short statement. God has created a good world. This is an article of the Catholic faith. Already in Genesis, 31st verse of the first chapter, and God saw all the things he had made, and they were very good. I like that, very good. Now why, we ask, is the world that God made good? Why is it anything good? Anything is good because it satisfies the will. Clearly, the world is not good in the sense that it satisfies the divine will in wanting to acquire. All right? God gets nothing out of the world. It is fundamentally good because it corresponds exactly, insofar as it is the world, insofar as it is the world that God made, it corresponds to what he wants it to be. And thus, a thing can be good either because it will satisfy me in giving me what I don't have. By the way, I'm gliding over weeks of class in saying these statements. A thing may be good either because it satisfies me in what I don't yet have. In that sense, the world cannot be good with relationship to God because it satisfies God in no way to giving him what he still needs. Okay? Or a thing can be good because it perfectly conforms to what the will wants it to be. What God made is exactly what he wanted to make. Okay? An artist painting a picture. An architect a building. Or whatever. And it's great. It's good. It's what I want it to be. It's also 1 o'clock. And we'll pick this part of the subject up 2 weeks hence. Let's say the Angelus in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.